In May of 2023, we will see the 75th anniversary of the rebirth of the nation of Israel. But in the meantime, in America, anti-Semitism is on the rise. Pinkston Communications notes, anti-Semitism is on the rise. Recently, neo-Nazis planned a day of hate against Jewish people, and the Jew Hunter, so-called, in L.A., was also singling out Jewish victims for violence. 89% of American Jews say that anti-Semitism is a problem in the U.S. today, and over 25% of American Jews were the victims of an anti-Semitic incident last year. Shireen Hudson works with Passages, an organization that has brought over 10,000 Christian college students to Israel to deepen their faith and to stand with the Jewish people against hate. End quote, again, from Pinkston Communications. Shireen Hudson joins us now on Vocal Point to talk about Israel and also this issue of anti-Semitism. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and this is Vocal Point. Shireen, welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much, Jerry. It's really a pleasure to be here.
Okay, so first of all, how about a comment about this incredible milestone, 75th anniversary of Israel?
It is truly amazing to be coming to this milestone of Israel's rebirth, and we are very excited because in history, when Jewish people were in diaspora, they lived throughout Europe, in America, this was just a dream, right? There was no real conception that it could happen with modern government, although the Jewish people never stopped praying for the restoration of their homeland. In the modern period, we still had this impossibility of Jews being able to reestablish themselves in what was, at that point, the Ottoman Empire, and after that, the British Mandate.
American President Harry Truman was among the first to recognize Israel as an independent nation back in May of 1948. And you and I are having this conversation, of course, in America. And in the meantime, we're seeing, at the same time as this wonderful 75th anniversary, we are seeing an increase in anti-Jewish, you know, communications and threats and even attempts to intimidate people in colleges and so forth if they stand with Israel as a nation.
Yes, it is really a shocking and concerning trend that we have watched over the last 5 years. And I believe it does come from two different areas. The first you already mentioned, which is the campus environment. I'm not sure how many people know, but the increase of anti-Semitic attacks on Jewish students has been pretty horrendous, where Jewish students, whether or not they necessarily agree with the state of Israel and the government, they are being targeted as Jews. And so we have a lot of anti-Israel and anti-Zionist hate speech and incidents happening on campuses. And that does directly come from the issue of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict on the one hand. On the other hand, we see a resurgence globally of nationalistic fervor, which is on the extreme right, which then also sees the Jewish people as outsiders, as well as those that control the world and the politics and financial systems. And those are coming from classic anti-Semitic tropes that portray the Jewish people as seeking world domination.
Okay, a comment on attempts to have disinvestment in Israel, to essentially try and bankrupt it or whatever, or have people, you know, not provide money to Israel.
Yes, so the BDS movement, the Boycott, Divestments, and Sanctions movement, has it's gotten its start on the university campuses. And so what we've seen is there will be groups of students to promote anti-Israel legislation in the student body governance. And they write a resolution that then they push through with the student body leadership. But for the most part, even if a BDS resolution passes on a campus, usually the institution itself does not end up divesting money from companies that do business with Israel.
Okay, wait. So just so we understand this, you're saying that in some cases there are colleges where there are students who, let's say, they write up a petition or whatever, basically saying, we want this college to disinvest in Israel. And you're saying, despite that, the administration doesn't agree with the students and things continue as usual.
Correct, yes. But even if they are unsuccessful, so to speak, with getting the administration to actually divest funds, what does happen on the campus is if they get it to that point, it means that a lot of anti-Jewish fervor has been stirred up. And once that boycott, divestments, and sanctions resolution passes, there is a marked uptick on anti-Semitic incidents and Jewish students feeling physically threatened and emotionally threatened on their campuses. So the damage does get done there. And it's also a campaign to change the minds of people that might have been just neutral and not really knowing anything about the conflict in the Middle East to say, hey, okay, Israel is being displayed as an apartheid state and they make all of these accusations. And so you get a generation of university and college students that already accept this notion, which is based on falsehood.
Okay, can you explain what would be the answer to critics of Israel that would say something along the lines of, well, the Israelites just basically stole the land from the Palestinians in order to create the modern state of Israel? I mean, that's kind of what the charge they're saying. And then also this charge of apartheid, they're treating the Palestinians there as if they're second-class citizens.
Yes, this is why it's really exciting to be working with an organization called Passages, because it specifically gives an immersive education in the land of Israel to Christian college students where we can unpack for them the history of how Israel was reborn. A very shortened version of this is that the United Nations in 1947 voted to partition the British Mandate. So at that time, the land that we now call Israel, at that time was called Palestine, was being governed by Great Britain after World War I, where the Ottomans lost. And Great Britain, because of the unrest that was happening in Palestine at that time, decided they couldn't continue governing this land, and they gave it over to the League of Nations. And the League of Nations decided on a vote in November of 1947 to go ahead and partition the land for the Jewish Palestinians and for the Arab Palestinians. And Israel was able to be born out of a legal transaction in the United Nations. And so to say that Jews came and stole the land does not recognize that this was an international recognition of their rights and their independence to create a new country for themselves.
So the Palestinians then got a territory. When people are talking about what we need is a two-state solution, the Palestinians already got a portion. What did they get? Was it Jordan or something?
So, yes, before that partition plan, there was actually another agreement where it was called the Transjordan, right? And so the Transjordan was actually partitioned off and given to the Hashemite Kingdom, Jordan, and that was supposed to be a large homeland for the Arab population. But when they partitioned the land of Israel, there were still many Arabs living, especially in what we call the West Bank and throughout Israel. And when Israel accepted the partition plan, those that were living in the land at that time and the Arab League rejected that the partition. And so instead of working towards nation building side by side, unfortunately, the Palestinians intensified their agitation. And when Israel declared its statehood in May of 1948, that is when the Palestinians and the Arab world decided to attack the Jewish state. Because the notion was there really should not be any Jewish state. And that is one of the reasons why it is a true miracle and a point of celebration to come to 75 years, because there has been many times that, unfortunately, the Arab League has attacked the nation of Israel, and Israel has been able to stand firm.
Yes, in fact, there was war in, 1948, 1967, 1973. In all cases, though, Israel was able to survive and to exist as a nation. Okay, we have about 3 minutes left. Go ahead and explain how Passages works and how it helps, you know, Christians to appreciate the modern country of Israel.
Yes, so Passages works with both Christian and state colleges and campus ministries to recruit groups of students to come with us on a 9-day immersive journey to Israel. And this is the generation called Gen Z, right? And Gen Z is the most diverse generation that the United States has ever seen. And the reason I say that is because part of the milieu that they're growing up in, their culture, is to take for granted that somebody else is going to be coming from a different perspective, whether that is because of politically or ethnically or just like a variety of reasons why someone is different from the other, and they're used to that. And so when we take them to Israel, what is really cool about what we do is we allow them to hear the different sides, not just of the conflict, but of the culture and of the society, and they learn how to listen. And they learn how to discern what it is that's really going on in Israel. And so they go for 9 days. Before the 9 days, they take a pre-trip course, and then they get immersed in the land of Israel and also in Bethlehem, which is in the West Bank. And then they come back and they do a little bit more studies, including a film called Pope in the Holy Land that also, again, brings in the diverse voices of the situation in Israel.
Okay, we have about 1 minute left. Does this change their perspective? A lot of times, I mean, these people just transformed in their understanding about, you know, Israel absolutely has a right to exist.
Yes, we're so excited because, number one, it transformed their faith. We know that faith is being undermined in their generation, but those that are coming with us on these trips are seeing firsthand the places that they've heard about from the Bible and really engaging with tangible reality of their faith. And so that's transforming. And then second, when they get to talk to the people that live in Israel, all kinds of people, they can come back to their campuses and to their churches and their communities and say, listen, this is a very complex situation. And I have gained some tools to understand how to be a leader in conflict resolution, how to be discerning when I read and take in social media and news reports about the land of Israel and about the conflict. So we really see a change in them. And not only that, but then they also step into the fight against anti-Semitism because they have the courage to become friends with their Jewish classmates and to say, hey, I'm here with you. I went to the land of Israel. I know where you come from and what makes you a proud Jew. And so we're really excited to see that we can have an impact in this next generation.
Okay, we are out of time. Thank you so much for being with us. PassagesIsrael.org. Thank you, Serene Hudson.